Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you know exactly what we need. You know what we need, and you sent us Jesus Christ. Lord, help our hearts and our minds to consider the beauty, the wonder, and the blessing that Christ is in our salvation. We thank you for that. And Lord, as we gather around your word this morning, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to consider Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is word from God, and he is a way, the way to God. Let me read this section from Hebrews. Really, all the readings that we have fit really well together this morning. But I'm going to read the one from Hebrews again. It says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus." That word there in Greek is to consider. It's not used a whole lot, but it means to deeply think about, reflect on, think about, consider. "Whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest, he was faithful to the one who appointed him. Just as Moses was faithful in all God's house, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as a builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God, i.e. Jesus, is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firm to our confidence and the hope in which we glory." There's two things that human beings need. Every single human being on this earth. It doesn't matter whether you are Quakovob or whether you are, you're from China or you're from America, or no matter what race and anything. There is one thing, if you are a human being, two things that we need. And what we need is we need to hear from God, and we need a way to God. We need to hear God speak into our lives. We need to hear His Word touch us and enliven us. We need to know the way to God. You know, I think it's an absolutely fascinating thing. I don't know if you've studied world religions, but one of the things that's really just amazing and worthy for us just to pause for a moment is that none of the world religions, think about them all now, and I'm not going to name any names, there's just a whole host of them and variations and all sorts of things. You know, and one thing that's very fascinating to me is none of them have thought or figured out that God Almighty would sacrifice Himself to pay for the sins of the very people who have gone astray. Not one of them. That to me is mind-boggling, and we don't think about that. Our own flesh hides that from our mind. The devil doesn't want you to know that. And I realize we hear all sorts of stuff about the Bible and its hidden secrets and all sorts of things. My goodness, it's about Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Nobody's figured that out. It's Christ. And there's a reason why. We need to hear from God. We need to hear that word from God. We need to know that there is a way to God. I would invite you to look now in your outlines. You have it on the back of your bulletins. And if you're listening to this recording, you also can have your Bible and you can look it up. But you look in Hebrews and you'll see right at the beginning of this chapter 3. It says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share a heavenly calling." Note that. Holy brothers and sisters. And note it says a heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. The call came from heaven. God spoke that to us. He's speaking to you. He's calling you holy Brothers and sisters, God is speaking to us. It's a heavenly calling. It's a call that is meant to grip our hearts, meant to grip our minds. God broke through the resistance of our own heart and our confusion and our stress and our anxiety and all the stuff that we bear. He broke through that. He broke through that with Christ and Christ alone. And this means that for us as Christian people, we have hope. We have great hope. We have a beautiful, wonderful hope that, you know, and the really nice thing is it's not based on anything that we are. And I'm glad for that. I don't want it based on me. I know me well enough. My wife knows me well enough too. And you know yourself. Your spouse knows you. And you know, we know that we're not perfect. We know that we could not measure up to what God... And we also know that God keeps records. And we know that He knows what is right and wrong. And we have this in our mind. And we know that we don't measure up to that unless we are completely deluded and deceived. We can't. Our God and our God alone speaks to us, and He speaks to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And He tells us, calls us with a heavenly calling. It's a call up to heaven. He's saying, I have a home for you through Christ. I have a blessing for you. I have this heavenly call. So we are people that have heard this call. You'll notice later on in this same section here. And it's actually, if you look right just at the beginning, about halfway through verse 1, to pinpoint it. Some of the translations will say, fix your thoughts. It's that word consider. Now, a lot of times we think consider is really more of an evangelistic note. We're calling out to people that don't know the Lord. They don't know Christ. Consider Christ. He's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to people who believe. He's talking to Hebrews. These are people who came out of Judaism. They knew God. They saw Christ as the fulfillment of that. And they believed in Jesus as their Savior. And He's telling them, He's saying, consider. Why do we need to consider? Well, the book of Hebrews builds on itself, you see. And earlier, just the previous chapter, let me read a verse from this section. It's chapter 2. Verse 1. You can jot it down. It's chapter 2, verse 1. And this is what it says. The writer of the Hebrews tells us, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. It is easy to drift away. It's more easy than I could possibly even imagine. I can drift away when I get worried and when I get overwhelmed, when I get concerned, if I get upset about something. I know people that are dealing with health concerns, they're dealing with financial issues. And how would we drift away? You can see at the very end of this section in verse 6, it says that we would lose our confidence and our hope. How would you lose your confidence and your hope? You would lose your confidence and your hope that God is taking care of you. That God is going to work this out. That God has not forgotten you. Why? Because He's given you a heavenly calling. That heavenly calling didn't come from you. It came from God in Christ. And that means something. And He's telling us not to drift away from that, you see. He's saying, don't drift away from your faith. Your faith means something to God. It means something that is more precious than you possibly know. And it bears a fruit that we don't see in the immediate, but we see over time. In the form of patience. In the form of love. In the form of faith. And many good, wonderful fruits that the Holy Spirit brings us. He's encouraging us in this way. And He's pointing to Jesus Christ as the center. As He is the center and everything. He is the Word from God. He is the way. He says He's an apostle. What is an apostle? An apostle is someone that is sent. He is sent. He was sent by God. And He fits beautifully into this because He speaks the Word of God to us. And even our apostles, you know, with Matthew and John and the apostle Peter, they were sent by Jesus Christ. They weren't sent of their own accord. It was Christ that picked them. And a few Sundays ago, we looked at how Christ spent all night in prayer. And after all night in prayer to God, He picked these 12 to send out. But Christ, most importantly, is the one that's sent by God. He was sent to speak to us. He's speaking to us in the Word of God. He's encouraging us. And then the fullness of Him. He's not only an apostle. He's not only the one sent by God. Not by many. There's not many Christs. There's one Christ and one Christ alone. And He speaks to us because it's Him who God has chosen. You'll notice that we heard in the Transfiguration text, you saw these other mighty men of God there. We had Elijah. We had Moses. But who did God say? Everyone else disappeared. And when the apostles saw, they saw Christ alone. And it was the Word of God that says, "This is my Son. Hear Him. I sent Him. He's speaking to you." Is He speaking to you? He wants to speak to us. And what He has to say to us is the most beautiful message in the world. And again from Hebrews, let me share this verse to you from Hebrews. I put it actually in your outline, and you can consider this from chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "For this reason He, Jesus Christ, God, was made like them." The "them" is us. Fully human, Christ is all God, He's all man. "In order that He, Jesus, might become a merciful," underline that, "a faithful high priest." If we stumble and we fall and we fail so commonly, He is faithful. You are His, and He will not deny Himself, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. "He is a faithful high priest in service to God, that He might make atonement for our sins." The sins of the people. The sins you and me and the whole world. Atonement is a beautiful word in Hebrew and Greek. In Greek, this particular word means propitiation. It means someone in your place. And I'm glad. Aren't you glad Jesus was in your place? I'm really glad. Because, you know, Moses, it says in this text, was not as glorious as Christ. Christ was more glorious. Christ was more glorious than Moses. And I'm so glad for that. Because so many people just try to make it on their own. In the Old Testament lesson that we heard, there's a beautiful revelation in that that speaks about how glorious Christ is compared to Moses. Did you notice an interesting thing? That Moses is 120 years old and he's climbing a mountain. Wouldn't that be great? I like staying in shape. I hope you stay in shape. You'll enjoy your old age better, I believe. But nonetheless, the truth is that Moses, it says in other parts of the Old Testament, he didn't age. This guy, he could still see like he was in his 20s. And he looked wonderful. What in the world is with that? It's with this. It's that the law that God gave, that law is not going to change. And I realize that we want it to change. We want it to speak to the culture that we're in. I'm sorry, it's not going to change. God wrote that law. He wrote it. He wrote it on stone. And Moses didn't change to show us that the law is permanent. It speaks to every single human being. It speaks to them the truth because it's from God. And God is going to put that law before us. It's going to stand. It's going to testify. It's going to be our judgment. And Moses stands as a testimony. He did not fade because that law is not going to fade. That law came from the heart of God. But here's the thing about that law. And this is where many people, we get confused at times. The law shows you a little bit of what God is like. It shows you the beauty, the holiness, the wonderfulness of God. We know what He expects of us, what He desires of us. We can see that, but it cannot, will not ever be able to take you into the promised land. And that's why Moses died on Pisgah. He was not allowed because the law of which he is symbolic cannot take us into glory. It can give you a vista of God. It can help you to see what God is like. And you can desire that and say, "This is beautiful. God, I will live by this. I will serve you. I will do what the law says." It will never get you into heaven. Because we cannot keep it fully. It gives you a view of heaven. It gives you a view of glory, which is that promised land. But it cannot take you in. And so it dies there. And many people die there. Because, you know, Moses is also greater. He's greater, and it says in our text, because he was a servant.
He was not a son. And there's a big difference. Many people will serve God and say, God, I will do good. I will do what is right. I will serve you. God will give you your pay. God will give you your pay. But your service will never, ever, ever be good enough because we can't keep it 100%. We can't. God is faithful. He will give the servant his pay. What we are sons and daughters of God. Praise God. Christ did that. Can't take that away because our Lord Jesus Christ did that, and that's why He's of greater glory than Moses. That's why He's of greater glory because He actually built the house. It's His. It's His design. It's His hope. He's of greater glory. Unimaginable glory. And all of this is ours as a gift in Christ and Christ alone. And God gives it to us because He loves us and He cares for us in Christ. As deep as those scars on His hands and the scar on His side and His feet. And this is what He calls us to glory in. Do not lose. May I never lose. May we hold on to the confidence and the hope that we have. Not in ourselves, but in Christ and in Christ alone. And so I ask you, where is your confidence? As you face this week, I know some of us very well, and I know some of the things that we are going through. Where is our confidence? Is it in luck? Is it how hard I can do, how hard I can serve? How I look, how I try? Is it in Christ? Cast that burden upon Christ. Trust in Him. Before you go into that meeting this week, don't go in it without prayer. Before you have to deal with that loved one that's in the last moments of life, don't do that without prayer, without reading a psalm. Before you have to deal with anything that comes up, even unexpected, just deal with that because you are not alone. Deal with it in Christ and through Christ and to the glory of His name. Let us glory in who He is, the Word from God and the way to God. In Jesus' name, amen.